6 years ago, I shared with you a list of the top 10 New Year's resolutions that they had gathered together. And when I was exploring these lists again, wondering if I wanted to do something similar to that again, I made a discovery that I had not expected. And that is, the list really hasn't changed all that much. Now, there are a couple of things that have snuck in. One thing I saw about global warming, I'm not sure how that applies to our own personal lists. But the top 10 New Year's resolution lists of 6 years ago is almost identical today. Number 10, spend more time with family. I think that's a good one. Number 9, fall in love. BJ, Cheryl, you can check that off your list. Check that off, you've got that covered. Number 8, help others with their dreams. I was glad to see that. It means that not every one of your resolutions revolve around you. I think that's a good thing. Number 6, learn something exciting. I have no idea how you qualify that, but number 5, stay fit and healthy. Oh, I skipped number 7, quit smoking. So if you smoke, quit. All right, don't smoke. It's obviously not good for you. Number 4, enjoy life to the fullest. Number 3, spend less, save more. Yeah, good luck with that. Number 2, get organized. Okay, honey, they had our name on that one, didn't they? We got some organization we're going to do in our house coming up here. We've got several rooms that have taken on a life of their own. You maybe have something like that similar in your own house. This is the year, babe, we get that done. And number 1, lose weight. None of those things has really changed. And I can't decide if that's a good thing or if we're just getting sort of narrow-minded in the things that are so important to us. But regardless of whatever your resolutions happen to be, and certainly getting fit is one of them. Rod and I experience this every year. When we go to the gym the first week of January, you can't even get to a machine to lift and work out, because there's hundreds of people in there that you know there's no way you're going to see them after about 10 days. Because they're all trying to do things they should not be doing. Rod and I are consistent. Him more than me once in a while. I'm going to give you props on this. He showed up to work out without me the other morning. I was very impressed. Just want you to know. I want to give due where credit is due. All right, don't clap for him. He doesn't need all that. But it's important to stay with the things that you do, the resolutions, as much as you possibly can. And we've talked about that before. But the first question that I want to ask you on the first Sunday of 2022 is this. Are you looking ahead to the opportunities God's going to provide, or are you looking back at the times of adversity and difficulty? Are you looking ahead, or are you looking back? Now, I think most people would feel somewhat justified at still looking back at 2021. I mean, there were some things that were going on this last year that were head scratchers. I don't fully understand. So to continue to dwell or to think about those things in an attempt to understand, I get that. I understand that. I recently read something that said, I'm not wishing anyone a happy new year until I read the terms and conditions. I think there's some wisdom in that. I want to know what's involved before I wish somebody happy new year. And so not only were things difficult this past year in some ways, but I think in some instances they got a little bit worse. So what does that do to you as you approach a brand new year? Does that give you a reason or a license to stay anchored in the things of the past, or is there wisdom in looking ahead to what it is that God's going to be bringing us? And I think in the scriptures, Daniel provides for us a perfect model for how we should be looking ahead. So turn to the book of Daniel. It's one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. You're going to be in the first chapter, right at the very beginning. If you get to Nahum and Joel and Amos and all those guys, you've gone too far. If you're at Isaiah, go a little bit further. Daniel. I love Daniel. Daniel was a very neat person, I think. I'd like to hang out with Daniel. As a matter of fact, when I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus first. I want to go find Joseph. He's number one on my list after Jesus. And then I want to hunt Daniel down. And I want to talk to him for a little bit. First seven verses, this is what it says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put in the treasure house of his God. Verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Among those were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now this is the story of how Daniel and the three guys end up in Babylon. So what do we know according to these first seven verses? Because when you read the scripture, you've heard me encourage you to do this as often. Take it in a way that brings it into where you are living right now. When you're reading about Daniel, don't think about some guy that lived thousands of years ago. What would he look like if he were standing in front of you? What would he be like? So we know that Daniel lived a life of privilege. He was nobility. This was not just some ordinary garden variety schlup that came up and he got captured. This guy was royalty. He was a part of that family. He was very intelligent. It says he was diligent in his work. He certainly would have been very successful in everything that he did. He was handsome, physically fit, and gifted in all types of learning. So this guy, he was not only a teacher's dream, he was a coach's dream. This was the guy that you would want on the sideline. All of those games that you watch, you always see the players with a C on their chest. There's one or two guys on each team. That means captain. That means these guys are the leaders. Daniel would have a C on his toga. Did they wear togas back then? No, that was Greece. It would have been like a coat, right? A cloak. Help me out, Karen. Okay, thank you. That's all. I just wanted some affirmation there. So he would have had a C on his outfit. That's the kind of a man that Daniel was. He was of the wealthy because he was related to the king. Yet with all of this, and don't miss this about Daniel, with all of the physical things that he had going for him, the Bible says he was a man of character, he was a man of faith, and watch this, he was a man of humility. Let's face it, church, when we are blessed or when you see people blessed with a great number of talents and gifts, rarely is humility one of them. All those guys that are so gifted in the arts of entertainment and all of that, rarely do you hear of the ones that are really nice to be around because they're such nice people. There's a couple of them that you always hear, a couple of guys that I like in movies that I found out they're nice people. And that's the kind of person that I like to go see because I know that he's not going to act a different way later. But that's who Daniel was. But with all that he had going for him, Daniel had the misfortune of living in a land that had turned its back on God. Denied God. You see, God had sent these Old Testament prophets to Israel for hundreds of years with one job. You guys had better stop what you're doing and you better turn your hearts back to God. That was their basic message. You better clean it up. You're doing things that you know are not right. And you know the difficulties, the problems that you're having? It's because you're not worshiping God. You're not following Him. And it's going to get worse. So this was a nation that had wonderful, good people in it. But because of the sins of the nation, everybody had to suffer for that. Now, let me just stop there and ask this. Too difficult to make that same association for 2022 for the United States of America? It's easy for me. I mean, goodness, how much have we turned our back on God? And we haven't just turned our back on Him, we have forcibly removed God, attempted to, from virtually every aspect of our lives in this country. You can't pray in school anymore. How many of you remember you used to do that? You'd have a moment of silence? Yeah, I remember that. Matter of fact, it was close to my age, a little bit under me, that it all came to an end. Can't do that anymore. We've taken Him out of our legal system, and we wonder why the legal system in this nation seems to be upside down right now, where the people that are the victims are the ones that seem to be having the most trouble, and the ones that are disobeying the law, we're kowtowing to them. It's been reversed. It's been happening for a long time. We've removed God from our homes. And God forgive us, I think many times we've removed God from our churches because we just want people to feel good. We want them to be comfortable. I don't want to step on any toes. Now, I think you know me. I'm not trying to intentionally step on any toes. I don't want to intentionally offend anyone. That's never my intent. But the Bible is a confrontational work, church. The Bible says sin is sin. This is wrong. This is right. It doesn't say, I hope you feel good about that. It doesn't say pick and choose what it is that you're comfortable with. This is my word. This is what's been presented to us, and that's how we live our lives. And so Daniel gets caught up into this. And I have to wonder that when Daniel was captured with his buddies, what was he thinking through this 800-mile journey that he had to take to get to Babylon? I got to think he might have had some questions. I got to think maybe he even had some doubts that he had to wrestle with going, God, how did we get to this point? How did this happen in our lives? And when Nebuchadnezzar had completed taking over that country, we read that he set up King Jehoiakim to still be king, but he was a puppet king. He wasn't actually making the decisions. All he did was kept him there in order to maintain the appearance of normalcy so the people would remain calm. And in order to make sure there were no rebellions in the future, he took the royal family with him. See, God was allowing all of this. God had a purpose. There was a plan. And see, what I want to encourage you this morning is regardless of the circumstances that you're walking through right now, no matter how easy, no matter how difficult, God has a plan for you. And He has a plan for you for this coming year. My question is, are you going to be looking to that? Are you looking ahead to find the plan of God, to be participating in that? Or are you going to maybe miss it because you're too busy looking behind you at what you didn't get done, what didn't happen the way you thought it might, the difficulties here? How's that going to work for the future? We don't even know. Is that where all of your energies are being spent? Church, I've made a commitment for 2022. I'm not looking back. I can't change any of that. You can't change one second of the past by using what God's given you now, thinking about that. Does that make sense? You can't change it. All you can do is learn from it. And believe me, God wants you to learn from your past. He wants you to learn from the things that took place back there, but that's not where He wants your attention. He wants your attention ahead because that's where He is, waiting for you. I think there are five lessons from Daniel's early years that we can use in the time to come. I'm going to do these very quickly because we're going to come to the table together. The first lesson is this, is that you have to accept the inevitable interruptions in your life. Inevitably, there are going to be interruptions in your plans. You don't get to lay everything out and go, okay, nothing gets to touch this. I'm going to make sure nothing of these things happen. I got to make sure everything happens the way it's supposed to, because I'm going to share something with you. If you're taking notes, write this down. You ready? This is not revelatory, but I think we need to be reminded. Life is not fair. It's not fair. Now, first of all, you have to tell me, what's fair? I never have really been given a good explanation to that question. What is fair? You have to have some measure to set that by. But if fair is what you think should happen in your life the way it should happen, life is not going to be fair. Interruptions come. Things take place that you had not planned on, that you did not want to have happen, but they came. And so bad things are going to happen sometimes to good people. Innocent people are going to be preyed upon, and the bad guys, many times, they get away. It's not like the movies. But the movies don't have an almighty God as a part of them like you do. The movies don't have the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ in their lives like you do. That changes your perspective on the world. That's why Paul writes in Corinthians about an old life and a new life. That the old life without Jesus is lived one way. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everything becomes new. That includes the way that you look at things. Because we've been given a hope. Let me read you what John writes in Revelation 21, verses 3 to 5. It's a promise we've been given. He says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. See, church, these are the kinds of words that we need to gravitate to. These are the words that we need to be pouring in to our systems, into our minds, and into our hearts. The world wants you to be afraid. The world is all about fear. And see, there is no fear in the things of God. There is no fear. Why? Because his love drives out fear. That drives it away. Second thing I think we can learn is that you don't get hung up trying to determine the source of your situation. Now tell me we don't all do that at one time or another. You've got something wrong going on. You got something bad. And you will knock yourself out in an effort to try to figure out how did that happen? Where did that come from? What did I do? What did they do? And see, all of that time that you're spending in those efforts means that you have removed yourself from the place that I believe God is leading you to. Because every situation of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, they're all led there by the hand of God. And I'm not saying that you don't consider where things turn sideways. You got to learn from those things. But we don't stay there. It's natural to wonder why. Because every time, church, you face adversity, you're given a choice. How are you going to respond? What is it you're going to do? What then becomes your source for dealing with that? Is it all you? Or do you turn that over and say, Father, I'm laying this before you. I need your help, God. I need your direction. I need your strength. I need your peace. See, I believe 2022 is going to be a year of great accomplishment for each and every one of you. I believe God's going to do wonderful things in and through you. You're going to see change take place in you. Things that you've been praying for years, I believe 2022 could be the year that God brings that solution, brings that resolution. But where are you going to be? Are you going to be there ready to receive it? Or are you going to be spending all your time looking back here, wondering where things are and what happened and why do we get to this place? Paul writes an incredible promise to us. Again, John in Revelation, Paul gives us a promise here. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You know what that simply means is you're not the first. Whatever it is you're dealing with, you're not the first. You're not the only one. Don't forget, Satan wants to isolate Christians whenever he possibly can. And one of those is through your mind to somehow believe that whatever it is you're dealing with, nobody's ever had to deal with this before. Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah, a lot. But here's the promise that goes with that. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Amen. See, that's the promise of God. You're going to have to deal with things, church. Life isn't fair. It's not going to be fair in 2022 either. But God never puts you in a situation that he does not show you a way out. But you know how you find it? Not by looking into yourself, but by looking to him. He's the one that provides that for you. Third thing I think we can learn is that you need to resist the temptation to believe the lie that you are entitled to the good life. You're entitled to it. How dare this not happen just the way I want it to? You know, I got to think Joseph is probably thinking this a lot while he's being taken away, having been sold into slavery by his brothers. Daniel's probably thinking this at least once in a while of thinking, I don't get why this has happened to me. My friends, our culture wants us to think that we should have everything that we want whenever we want it, the second we want it, but that's not reality. And as Christians, we need to understand that it isn't the timing of our lives anyway. It's His timing. That's why we submit and give our lives to Him. So that we understand and recognize that He is the one that's leading us. A.W. Tozer, I don't know if you're familiar with that name. Tozer said this, whoever seeks God as a means toward desired ends will not find God, because God will not be used. And that's true. See, there are some Christians who do what they do because they think, okay, I'm doing my part, he's got to do his part. I get my piece here, I'm putting my money in the machine, I'm pulling the stick, I get the prize. See, that's not who God is. God is not a heavenly vending machine in the sky. He's not up there looking for somebody to put the quarters in, to go to church, to pray, to put in the box, read the Bible, all of those things, very important. You must do those things. But we don't do them to get. We do them because we want to worship Him, because our lives are given to Him. Lesson number one, accept the inevitable interruptions of life. Number two, don't get hung up trying to determine the source of your difficulty. Number three, resist the temptation to believe the lie that you're entitled to the good life. Here's number four, refuse to blame others. Don't blame other people. And I know there are some people that have doctoral degrees in blaming others. They're so good at it. You actually leave conversations with them believing that it's your fault. I don't know why I did what I did. You didn't. But they're so good at it, they made you feel guilty, like it was your fault. See, there are very, very few times, my friends, when there's a totally innocent party in any difficult situation. There's no such thing. And you're no exception. Everybody contributes to the difficulty in various ways. But see, it's the person, the man, the woman, who can understand when I am ready to accept what it is of my life that's happened, when I'm ready to own those things of my life, the difficulties, the shortcomings, where I blew it, is the man or woman that's in a position to receive all that it is that God wants them to learn through that. But you can't be deflecting that to other people. And again, I love Joseph, and he demonstrates this in the very one of the last verses of the book of Genesis. You know the story, gets sold, gets put in position as the grand vicar of all of Egypt, only under Pharaoh, and his brothers and his family all come to try to get food. He finally reveals himself, and they're terrified because they think Joseph's going to take his revenge and have them killed. And in the 20th verse of the 50th chapter, Joseph says, don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And you know, Daniel, in spite of being a POW, Daniel showed himself to be faithful to God. And I wonder how many of us in those difficult situations, are we still being faithful to God in those times? Or do we step back and we go, okay, gloves are off, I'm going to handle things the way I need to handle them. See, God has a purpose and a plan in all of the things that you're dealing with, the good, the bad, and the most difficult. Here's the last one. Never forget that God wants to use you in greater ways than you can possibly imagine. And this means living by faith in greater ways every single year. Daniel would become the most powerful man ever in the history of all the Hebrew nation to that point, outside of Joseph. Daniel rose to the position, like Joseph did, of being second only to the king himself, a man who followed after God, because that was the plan that God had in place for his purposes. And see, again, my friends, for each and every one of you here this morning, God has a plan for your life. You say, Pastor Dave, any chance you can let me know what that is? No, I don't know. Because God's going to reveal that to you, and He may have already done that. And so for us this morning, it is about looking ahead to what it is that God has in store for us, not looking back. Daniel could have certainly spent a lot of time looking back, trying to figure out, I don't understand why this happened here. I'm royalty, for crying out loud. He can't treat me like this. This isn't fair. None of those things mattered. God had a plan in place. And it required that Daniel maintain all of those things that God had placed in him, the integrity, the honesty, the looking forward to what it was that God was going to do in his life. Let me just read a couple of verses, and then I'm done. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul writes this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that it is work within us, to him be glory to the church and in Christ Jesus our Lord throughout all generations forever and ever." Now you hear that read many times at the end of church services, but catch those first words, "to him who is able to do immeasurably more than I can ask or think." That's more than we can conceive, church. That's what God wants to do for you. And then with this, I'm done. Romans 5:3-5. Paul writes, "We're glad for our trouble also. We know that trouble helps us to learn not to give up. When we have learned not to give up, it shows we have stood the test. When we have stood the test, it gives us hope, because hope never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has come into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." My friends, in this year to come, Katarina and my prayer for each of you is that you're going to realize everything that God has for you, that you're going to walk in the fullest measure of all of his blessings for you. You have input into that. If you want to be blessed financially beyond all your wildest dreams, then you need to be ready to give to God beyond your wildest dreams. If you want to have health beyond what you could ever have believed, you've got to be willing to do those things that are going to submit yourself to him and to be disciplined in who God has created you to be. If you want to have relationships that are sweeter than you can possibly imagine, then you've got to be ready and prepared to turn every aspect of yourself over to him. Notice I didn't say give them over to him, because it's not about them. It starts with you. What is God doing in your life? And see, I believe that that's what 2022 can be. Let's pray together. Almighty God, I thank you for your word this morning, and I thank you for the prophet Daniel. I thank you, God, that you have given us your word to be able to learn and to grow, to move forward, God, in the things that you have called us to be. And I pray, God, now that as we come before your table, as we come before you, God, to receive the elements of communion, that you would, God, speak to our hearts now in this hour, and that true change would occur deep in our souls, deep in our hearts, to your glory and to your honor. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.